Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We all know what signs are. The song says, signs, signs, everywhere signs. We see them every day. Signs are those things that are on the side of the road communicating very important information like where the next rest stop is, where the next Starbucks is, road work, construction, all these things. Signs that try to advertise things for you to buy. Get your fake tan here, have your next heart surgery at this particular hospital. Signs, well, churches sometimes have signs, and signs can sometimes be misread. There's one church sign that said, "Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help." Not a great sign. Of course, signs don't need to be stationary objects by the side of the road. Signs can be actions. They can be things that people do in order to communicate vital pieces of information to another person or to a group of people. Right? The husband who says that he is sorry for his selfishness, he might bring his wife some flowers as a sign of his love and of his remorse. A boss might send an email or write a personal note as a sign of a job well done or good work to some employees. A grandparent might give a little treat to their grandkids as a sign of their love and their affection to them. And a child might listen to and obey their parents as a sign of their love and their respect of their parents. I mean, no matter how you define signs, those on the side of the road or those actions done, right, signs are meant to communicate. Now, in our gospel reading, the Apostle John talks about signs. Not ordinary signs. The ESV doesn't add miraculous to the word, but you get the gist. The signs that were done by Jesus. The signs that were done by Jesus were done to communicate something very important, things that we cannot do without. The signs that were recorded in this book, in John's gospel, were written down for us so that you and I might read and hear and believe. Well, believe what? Well, specifically, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you might have life in his name. I mentioned how a child might listen to or obey their parents as a sign of their love and respect for them. Right, all of us are someone's children, and I'm sure most of us have tried about 90% of the time to listen really hard to our parents. I'm also quite confident that there were those times where we tried very hard not to listen to our parents. Right? Clean up your room. No, I don't want to. It's time to go to bed. Make me. I could go on. It could be the terrible twos, it could be teenage rebellion. I mean, you could pick any age or time in life and blame that stubborn, that obstinate, rebellious behavior on that time frame or that age in life, if you wish. But we all know the truth. At the very heart of defiant behavior and rebellion and is sin. Honor your father and your mother, and it will go well with you in the land, is what the Lord commands in the fourth commandment. There's a promise with that too. Now, there have been times where it has gone well with us in the land of our parents' home, where we keep the fourth commandment, thanks be to God, but there are also those times when it didn't. And that's because we're sinners. Our words and our actions of rebellion are like neon signs plastered on our foreheads declaring, sinner, right here. But to tell you the truth, unlike you or I, never once in John's Gospel or anywhere else in all of the pages of Holy Scripture is Jesus ever rebellious. Not against his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, not against his heavenly Father. In fact, John's Gospel records over and over that the words and the actions of Jesus are signs. They're communicating Jesus' perfect submission and obedience to his heavenly Father's will. All that he does honors his heavenly Father as he's honoring his earthly mother and father. Even when he's doing things, when changing water into wine, and he says, "Woman, what does that have to do with me?" He's still honoring his parents, his mother, and he's honoring his heavenly Father. When he speaks a word and a child is healed, when he feeds 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves, these are all signs. As he calls Lazarus even out of the tomb, signs. Signs that he is the Son of the Father, the perfect Son. At one point, the crowds who followed Jesus said to him, Jesus, what sign do you do that we might see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Look, every single thing in Jesus' whole life, all of his actions, all of his healings, all of his miraculous signs, they are signs that he is the perfect Son of God, perfectly obedient to the Father, for the purpose of giving to us the forgiveness of sins and resurrection, a new life now, forgiven, and looking forward to the resurrection on the last day, all through faith in him. In Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father, he's doing what no one else could have done, what no one else would want to do. He stood under that large neon sign that read, sinner. But he did that for us. Because he literally became sin for us. And as he was crucified high and lifted up on the cross for the whole world to see, he advertised clearly the price, the wage of sin, which is death. But as Christ Jesus was high and lifted up upon the cross, he communicated to the world his great love for all of creation. The sign of the cross is a sign of love for the whole world, for you and for me. And then, of course, there's the sign of the empty tomb. The tomb without the body of Jesus communicates his victory over sin, over death, and over the devil for you and for me. You know, it was a few days after the women returned from the empty tomb, there were still more signs to be seen. Here in a locked room, Jesus appears to some of his disciples. Somehow Jesus appears in this room, literally in the middle of his disciples. He doesn't walk through an open door or crawl through a window and kind of weave his way through the crowd saying, "Pardon me, excuse me," coming through. He's just there, right in their midst, body and soul. He is no ghost. He says to them, "Touch and feel. This is a sign to you that I was crucified, I was dead, I was buried, but I'm alive." Something's different. In his time of his humility, in his earthly ministry, Jesus never really fully made use of his full divine nature. But now as he's risen, he makes use of his divinity, appearing bodily, even out of thin air. Again, a sign that Jesus is not just a carpenter from Nazareth, Mary and Joseph's son, but in fact, the Son of God. In fact, God in the flesh. That first Easter Sunday, Thomas wasn't there, one of the 12. The disciples and the women told him that they had seen the Lord, but he didn't believe what the others told him about Jesus. But then next Sunday, which would be today, right? The second Sunday after Easter, Jesus graciously appears again and gives this sign. He says to Thomas, "Put your hand here, touch, see that I am alive." And seeing and touching, Thomas believes. What a sign. The resurrected Christ now appears to Thomas so that he too would see and believe, so that he would be encouraged to be a proclaimer of the resurrection. And then we read these words from John. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the obedient one, the one who suffered and died for you, and so that by believing you might have life in his name. These signs were recorded for us, graciously and miraculously preserved for us to read throughout the ages, to hear and to believe. Jesus speaks a word of promise and blessing for all who have heard and believe and who have not yet seen with their eyes. And you know what, brothers and sisters in Christ? He is talking about you. You haven't seen Jesus, not the way that the disciples have. You haven't touched him, not like Thomas did. But we have heard the word of Jesus that was spoken to us through the scriptures. And through the hearing, the Spirit of Christ, which Jesus breathed out onto his disciples, also comes to us in the preaching of Christ, crucified for the forgiveness of sins. And he brings that gift to you. The signs that you and I have, well, they're the word and the sacraments. His promise to forgive our sin through them. His promise to be with us in bread and wine as his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. His promise to wash away our old Adam, to put us to death and rise us to life in the baptismal font. Recall in our baptismal liturgy, the pastor makes the sign of the cross both upon your heart and upon your forehead, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Being marked with the cross of Christ is like plastering a new sign on your head. Not one that just says sinner, but one that says redeemed, forgiven, and even God at work. God has been at work clearly before any of us came into existence. This much is true. But in our baptism, God begins a very special work in each and every one of us. He starts by killing you and then making you alive. And as you grow and you hear his word, as you confess your sin that his word exposes, and as you trust in his forgiveness, the Lord is at work by his Spirit sanctifying you, making you to be a holy dwelling place of God. even his temple. As you eat his very body and blood given and shed for you, God is at work. He is forgiving your sin. He is giving you strength to live as a sanctified child of God. And this work that he does in you through word and sacrament will continue in your lives either until the day Jesus comes again in glory and raises you from the ground, or you rest at peace with him in the Lord's arms. Either way, the Lord's work in your life is not complete until he has raised your flesh to be like his and so live with him forever. God's work of redemption was finished at the cross. This is true, but his work for you and in your life and for the whole of creation is not finished until the dead are raised. This is the hope, and this is the work that you have been baptized into. There are signs all over the place, some on the side of the road, other signs are actions, all though are aimed at communication. And the most important sign, the sign that we literally cannot live without, is the sign of Jesus' perfect love and obedience to the Father, shown in his death and his resurrection for you. Right here, in a book of all places, as John says, these are written so that you may believe and have life in his name. Having believed and have life in his name, what sign is it that God is at work in your in our lives as disciples? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called now to love one another, to forgive one another, to trust the Father's will, to get to work for the good care of our neighbor, for husbands to respect, for wives to respect their husbands, and for husbands to give themselves up for their wives, for children to honor their parents. In short, John sums up, they will know that we're Christians by our love. That's the sign of God's work in our lives. God grant us this grace in his Spirit as he brings it to completion in us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen one. Amen.